Pacifica Readers Theatre presents The Trial of Lucullus, a play for the radio by Bertolt Brecht.
The great Lucullus is dead. The general who conquered the East, who overthrew seven kings, who filled the city of Rome with riches. Behind his catafalque, borne by seven soldiers, follow the most distinguished men of mighty Rome. Beside it walk his philosopher and his advocate. Before it, slaves drag a tremendous frieze, setting forth his deeds, and destined to be his tombstone. Once more, the entire people admires a wonderful lifetime of victory and conquest. And they remember his former triumphal processions.
Hold it steady, hold it shoulder high. See that it does not waver in front of a thousand eyes. For now the Lord of the Eastern Earth betakes himself to the shadows. Take care, do not stumble. That metal and flesh you bear has ruled the world.
Careful, do not stumble.
You who haul the frieze with a scene of triumph. Aye, though the sweat runs down to your eyelids, still keep your hands to the stone. Think, if you drop it, it might be smashed in the dust.
Why, no, this man has penetrated even to Asia.
Then he was washed up long ago, at least I'd say so.
Greater than Pompey, Rome would have been lost without him. Enormous victory.
Mostly luck.
My big fellow got his in Asia. All this fuss won't bring him back to me.
Well, thanks to this man, many folk made fortunes.
My brother's boy, too, never came home again.
Everyone knows what Rome reaped thanks to him, in fame alone.
Without such lies, the suckers wouldn't bite.
Heroism, alas, is dying out.
When will they spare us all this twaddle about fame?
Can I go through here?
When we bury our generals, ox carts must have patience.
They drag my pulcher before the judges, taxes due.
We can say except for him, Asia would not be ours today.
His tomb is dropped in place again.
She's too.
Now they pass through the Arch of Triumph which the city has built for her great son. The women raise their children high. The mounted men press back the ranks of the spectators. The street behind the procession lies deserted. For the last time, the great Lucullus has passed through it. The procession has disappeared. Now the street is full again. From the closed-off side alleys, the drivers come forth with their ox carts. The crowd returns to its business, chattering. Busy Rome goes back to work.
In the school books are written the names of great generals. Whoever wants to emulate them learns their battles by heart, studies their wonderful lives. To emulate them, to rise above the crowd, is our task. Our city is eager to write our name someday on the tablets of immortality.
Outside on the Appian Way stands a little structure built 10 years before, meant to shelter the great man in death. The crowd of slaves that drags the frieze in the triumphal procession bends down. Then the little rotunda with the box tree hedge receives it.
Halt, soldiers!
A voice comes from the other side of the wall, giving orders from now on.
Tilt the bier. No one is carried behind this wall. Behind this wall, each man goes alone.
The soldiers tilt the bier. The general arises and stands, a little uncertain.
Now step through the gateway.
And the general goes to the little gateway, stands there a moment, looking about him, and stares with serious eyes at the soldiers, stares at the slaves who haul the sculpture, stares at the box tree, the last green thing. He trembles. Where the portico stands open, a breath of wind blows in from the street.
Take your helmet off.
And the general takes off his splendid helmet and steps in with bowed head. With a breath of relief, the soldiers crowd out of the burial place, chattering gaily.
Goodbye, Lacalle's. Now we're quits, old goat.
Out of the boneyard, up with the glass.
Fame isn't everything. You've got to live, too. Who'll come along down by the dock? There's wine and soap.
You're out of stock.
I'll come along.
So take it easy.
You won't pay the bill.
They'll give you credit.
Look at him grin. I'm off to the square where the market begins.
To the little brunette? Hey, I'll come along.
No, freeze a crowd. You'll get in wrong.
Then we're for the dog race.
Man, that costs money.
Not if they know you.
I'll come along.
Attention! Right, right.
March!
Ever since the newcomer has entered, he stands near the door, motionless, his helmet under his arm, like his own statue. The other dead who are newly arrived crouch on the bench and wait, as they have often waited, for good fortune and for death. Waited in the tavern until they got their wine, waited at the well until the lover came, waited in battle for the word of command. But the newcomer does not seem to have learned how to wait.
By Jupiter, what does it mean? Do I stand and wait here? Rome, the greatest city on the globe, still rings with lamentations for me. And here there is no one to receive me. Outside my war tent, 7 kings have waited for me. Is there no order here? I demand to be conducted out of this place. Must I stand here among these people? I object! 200 armored ships, 5 legions formerly advanced at the crook of my little finger. I object!
Be seated, newcomer. All that metal you haul, the heavy helmet and the breastplate must be tiring. Just sit down. Don't be arrogant. You can't stand the whole time you must wait here. My turn comes before yours. No one can say how long the hearing inside will last. It is clear, however, that each one will be strictly examined to determine whether he shall be sentenced to go down into dark Hades or into the Elysian fields. Sometimes the trial is quite short. A moment is enough for the judge. This one here, they say, has led a blameless life, and he was glad to be of use to his fellow men. To them a person's usefulness counts the most. They say to him, "Kindly go to your repose." Of course, with others, the hearing may last for whole days, especially with those who have sent a fellow man down here in the realm of the shadows before the appointed span of his life was over. It won't take long with the one who went in just now. He's an innocent little baker. As for my affair, I'm a little anxious, but hope for the best. For among the jury within, they tell me, there are little people who know well enough how hard life is for us in times of war. I counsel you, newcomer.
Tertullia!
The newcomer stands stubbornly by the gateway, but the burden of his insignia of honor, his own roaring, and the friendly words of the old woman have changed him. Now he goes to the bench, but before he can sit down, he is called. One moment with the old woman was enough for the judge.
Lacalle's!
My name is Lucullus. Isn't my name known here? I come from an illustrious family of statesmen and generals. Only in the slums, in the docks and soldiers' taverns, in the unwashed jaws of the vulgar, the scum, is my name Lacalle's.
Lacalle's!
And so, many times called in the despised language of the slums, Lucullus, the general who conquered the East, who overthrew 7 kings and filled the city of Rome with riches. At nightfall, when Rome sits down to the funeral feast, Lucullus is announced before the highest tribunal of the realm of the shadows.
Before the highest tribunal of the realm of the shadows appears General Lacalle's, who calls himself Lucullus. Presided over by the judge of the dead, 5 jurors pursue the examination. 1 formerly a farmer, 1 formerly a slave who was a teacher, One formerly a fishwife, one formerly a baker, and one formerly a courtesan. Insensible to magnificence, these long extinguished eyes, incorruptible, these ancestors of the world to come. The judge of the dead begins the hearing.
Shadow, you shall be heard. You shall give an accounting of your life among men, whether you have served or harmed them, whether we wish to see your face in the Elysian fields. You need a sponsor. Have you a sponsor in the Elysian fields?
I propose the great Alexander of Macedon be called. Let him speak to you as an expert on deeds like mine.
Alexander of Macedon!
The person called does not answer.
In the Elysian fields there is no Alexander of Macedon.
Shadow, your expert is unknown in the Elysian fields.
What? He who conquered from Asia to India? The never-to-be-forgotten one who so indelibly pressed his footprint in the globe of the earth? The mighty Alexander?
Is unknown here.
Then I propose that the frieze from my gravestone, on which my triumphal procession is set forth, be summoned. But how can it be summoned? Slaves haul it. Surely entrance is forbidden here to the living.
Not to slaves. So little divides them from death that one can say they scarcely live. The step from the world above down to the realm of the shadows is to them a short one. The frieze shall be fetched.
Unaware, the slaves huddle by the wall, wither with the frieze, until a voice suddenly speaks through the wall, "Come!" And by this single word, now changed to shadows, they drag their burden through the wall with the box hedge.
Out of life into death, without protest, we haul the burden.
Long ago, our time ceased to be our own, and the goal of our journey unknown.
And so we follow the new voice like the old. Why question it?
We leave nothing behind. We expect nothing.
And so they go through the wall, for they keep nothing back. Neither does this wall keep anything back. And they set their burden down. Before the highest tribunal of the realm of the shadows stands the frieze with the triumphal procession. The jurymen of the dead look upon it. A captured king, sad of countenance, a strange-eyed queen with provocative thighs, a man with a cherry tree consuming a cherry, a golden god very fat, borne by two slaves, a girl with a tablet, upon it the names of 53 cities, a dying legionary greeting his general, a cook with a fish.
Are these your witnesses, Lucullus?
They are. But how shall they speak? They are stone, they are dumb.
Not to us. They shall speak. Are you ready, you shapes, you stony shadows, to give testimony here?
We figures, stony shadows of vain sacrifice, formerly destined to remain in the light above, either to speak or to keep silent.
We figures of the conquered, robbed of breath, silenced, forgotten, formerly destined by the victor to plead his case in the light above, are willing to keep silent and willing to speak.
Shadow, the witnesses of your greatness are ready to testify.
And the general steps forward and points to the king.
Here you see one whom I vanquished. In the few days before the new moon and the full moon, I overthrew his army with all its war chariot and armed horsemen. In these few days, his empire was destroyed, like a hut struck by lightning. He began to fly when I appeared on his frontiers, and the few days of the war were scarcely enough for us both to reach the other side of his realm. So short was the campaign that a ham my cook had hung up to smoke was not yet thoroughly cured when I returned. And of seven I struck down, he was but one.
Is that true, O king?
It is true.
Your questions, jurors.
And the old slave who was once a teacher bends forward and asks,
how did it happen?
As he says, we were attacked. As the farmer loading hay stood with raised fork, his half-filled wagon was taken from him, and strange hands seized the baker's bread loaf before it was fully baked. All that he says concerning the lightning that strikes a hut is true. The hut is destroyed. Here is the lightning.
And of seven, you were?
But one.
And there is silence. The jurymen of the dead consider the testimony of the king. And the shadow who was once a courtesan puts a question.
You there, O queen, how did you get here?
Once, when I went early in the day to bathe in the river Vienne, 50 strange men sprang from the olive hedge. I was vanquished. For weapon I had a sponge, for shelter clear water.
Only this armor protected me, and not for long. I was quickly vanquished.
And why do you walk here in the procession?
As a proof of the victory.
What victory? The one over you?
And the beautiful River Vienne.
And what does he call a triumph?
That the king, my husband, could not with his whole army protect his property from prodigious Rome.
Sister, then our lot is the same. For me, too, prodigious Rome could not protect from prodigious Rome.
And there is silence. The jurymen of the dead consider the testimony of the queen. And the judge of the dead turns to the general.
Shadow, do you wish to proceed?
Yes. I mark well how the conquered have a sweet voice. However, once it was rougher. This king here who captures your sympathy, when he was in power, was especially ruthless. In taxes and tribute, he took no less than I. The cities I snatched from him lost nothing in him. But Rome won 53 cities thanks to me.
The girl with the tablet says,
with streets and houses, temples and waterworks, we rose out of the landscape. Today only our names remain on this tablet.
And the juror, who was once a baker, asks,
why so?
One day at noon, an uproar broke loose. Into the streets flowed a flood whose waves were men and carried our goods away. In the evening, only a foul smoke marked the spot that was once a city.
And what then did he carry away, he who sent the flood?
Us!
Once happy, now cheaper than oxen to haul away booty. Ourselves booty.
Formerly the builders of 53 cities, of which only name and smoke remain.
Yes, I carried them off. There were 250,000. Formerly foes, but now no longer foes.
Formerly men, but now no longer men.
And with them I carried away their god, so that the whole earth might see our gods were greater than all other gods.
And the god was very welcome, because he was of gold and weighed 200 weight. And we two are each worth a piece of gold, the size of a finger bone.
Then we write to your credit, Shadow, simply this: brought gold to Rome.
And there is silence.
The accused seems tired. I allow a recess.
And the judge goes away. The accused sits down. He crouches by the doorpost and leans back his head. He is exhausted, but he overhears talk behind the door where new shadows have appeared.
I came to grief through an ox cart.
Ox cart?
It brought sand to the foundation of a building.
Foundation? Sand.
Isn't it mealtime now?
Mealtime? I had my bread and onions with me. I haven't a room anymore. The horde of slaves they drag in from every spot under heaven has ruined the shoemaking business.
I too was a slave.
You there? Is there wind up there?
Hark! Someone's asking something.
Why, there's wind up above. Perhaps. There may be in the garden. In the suffocating alleys, you don't notice it.
And the jurymen return. The hearing begins again. And the shadow that was once a fishwife says,
there was talk of gold. I, too, lived in Rome. Yet I never noticed any gold where I lived. I'd like to know where it went to.
What a question. Should I and my legions take the trouble to capture a new stool for a fishwife?
Though you brought nothing to us in the fish market, still you took something from us in the fish market. Our sons.
And the jurywoman speaks to the warriors in the frieze.
Tell us, what happened to you in the two Asias?
I ran away.
And I was wounded.
I dragged him along.
And so he fell too.
Why did you leave Rome?
I was hungry.
And what have you got there?
I have nothing.
You stretch out your hands. Is that to greet your general?
It was to show him they were still empty.
I protest. I rewarded the legionaries after each campaign.
But not the dead.
I protest. How can war be judged by those who do not understand it?
I understand it. My son fell in the war. I was a fishwife in the market at the Forum. One day it was reported that the ships returning from the Asian War had docked. I ran from the marketplace and stood by the Tiber for many hours where they were being unloaded. And in the evening all the ships were empty and my son came down none of the gangplanks. Since it was drafty at the harbor at night, I fell into a fever, and in the fever sought my son, and ever sought him more intently, and grew more chilled, and died, came here into the realm of shadows and still sought him. Faber, I cried, for that was his name, and I ran through shadows and from shadow to shadow, crying Faber, until a gatekeeper above in the region of the fallen warriors caught me by the sleeve and said, old woman, there are many Fabers here, many mother's sons, many, all in confusion. But they have forgotten their names, which only serve to line them up in the army, and are no longer needed here. And their mothers they do not wish to meet again, because they let them go to the bloody war. And I stood, held by my sleeve, and my cries died out in my mouth. Silently I turned away, for I desired no longer to look upon my son's face.
And the judge of the dead seeks the eyes of the jurymen and announces,
the court recognizes that the mother understands war.
And there is silence. The jurymen of the dead consider the testimony of the warriors.
But the jurywoman is moved, and in her trembling hands the scales may tip. She requires a recess to regain her composure.
And again the accused sits down and listens to the talk of the shadows behind the door. Once again a breath is wafted in from the world above.
And why did you run so?
To make an inquiry. It was announced they were recruiting legionaries in the tavern by the Tiber. A land in the west is now to be conquered. A land called Gaul.
Never heard of it.
Only the big folks know these countries.
And the judge smiles at the jurywoman, calls the accused, and regards him sadly.
Our time is passing. You do not use it. Anger us no more with your triumphs. Have you no witnesses to any of your weaknesses, mortal? Your business goes badly. Your virtues seem to be of little use. Perhaps your weaknesses will show some break in the chain of violent deeds. I counsel you, Shadow, recollect your weaknesses.
And the juryman, who was once a baker, puts a question.
Yonder I see a cook with a fish, who seems cheerful. Cook, tell us how you came to be in the triumphal procession.
Only to show that even while waging war, he found time to discover a recipe for cooking fish. I was his cook. Often I think of the beautiful meat, the game fowls and the black venison which he allowed me to roast. And he not only sat at table, but he too many times stood by the pots and himself mixed a dish. Lamb a la Lucullus made our kitchen famous. From Syria to Pontus, they spoke of Lucullus's cook.
And the juror, who was once a teacher, says,
what is it to us that he liked to eat?
But he let me cook to my heart's content.
I understand him. I was a baker. How often I had to mix bran with the dough because my customers were poor. This fellow here could be an artist.
Thanks to him. That is why I call him human. In the triumph, he ranked me next to the king and gave my art recognition. And I know, too, that in Emesis, the daughter city of splendid Athens, full to the brim with art treasures and books, he charged his soldiers with tears not to set fires when it was plundered. Wet with tears, he came to me at supper. That too was human. Consider it.
And there is silence. The jurymen consider the testimony of the cook. And the juryman, who was once a farmer, puts a question.
And there is someone, too, who carries a fruit tree.
This is a cherry tree. He brought it from Asia. In the triumphal procession, we carried it along, and we planted it on the slopes of the Apennines.
Oh, so it was you, Lucullus, who brought it. I once planted it also, but I didn't know that you introduced it.
And with a friendly smile, the juryman, who was once a farmer, discusses the tree with the shadow that was once the general.
It has few branches.
Yet it stands wind well.
The red cherries have more meat.
And the black are sweeter.
My friends, this, of all the detestable souvenirs conquered in bloody battle, I call the best. For this twig lives. It's a new and friendly companion to the vine and the abundant berry bush. It grows with growing things and bears fruit for you. And I congratulate you who brought it to us. when all the booty of conquest from both ages has long moldered away, this finest of all your trophies, renewed each year for the living, shall in spring flutter its white and rosy twigs, and I'll win from the hills.
And so I close the hearing. The most splendid of your witnesses, Shadow, were not the most favorable to you, but yet in the end some small ones were found. Your bloody hands proved not entirely empty. Truly the cost was very high, even for the best gift, the cherry tree. You could have easily made this conquest with one man, yet you sent 80,000 into Orcus for it. Now we must be content with a couple of happy hours for a cook, and tears over the destruction of books and similar things not of great use. Alas, despite all of this violence and conquest, but one realm awaits, and this is the realm of the shadows.
But we, appointed to judge the dead, consider what you, in leaving Earth, gave to it.
And from the high bench they rise up, the ancestors of the world to be, the world with many hands to take, with many mouths to eat, the hard to deceive, the firmly united, the joyous world to be. The tribunal withdraws to consider the verdict.
You have heard The Trial of Lucullus by Bertolt Brecht, translated by H.R. Hayes. In the cast were Arnie Henderson, John Frank, Al Jacobs, Barbara Oliver, Elaine Schooley, Ed and Deborah Schell, and Jane Deborah Schuchter. Play was directed by Deborah Schell, and technical direction was by John Whiting.